Next Step, episode 251, March 28th, 2013.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Voskin. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step, the Holy Thursday, the great Thursday before Easter edition of the next step. Hey, this is a podcast that looks at life and love, and especially at resurrection, the newness of the day, looking beyond the cross and seeing that glorious resurrection, as Easter invites us to do. Hey, that's the Armadox look. So kick back right now and join us as we take the next step. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, part of the expanding vision of the Issues Mission. Let's take it. Just finished the Holy Divine Liturgy. Oh, what a beautiful liturgy it is. It is the liturgy of the institution, today being Holy Thursday, reminding us of Christ's Last Supper, sometimes referred to as Maundy Thursday. I think that's I think it's kind of archaic. I don't know how many people refer to it. I know that on some of the older calendars, you'll see that designation, Maundy Thursday. Maundy, of course, the Latin word for commitment or commandment, because it is on this Thursday that at the Last Supper, these events take place. First of all, Jesus institutes the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist. He says, take and eat. This is my body. He gives the wine and he says, this is the blood of the new covenant. And I won't partake of this until I come in my Father's kingdom. And of course, these promises are given in the context of something even greater, the context of redemption, of salvation, of the crucifixion and Easter, the resurrection, and of course the new commandment, the Maundy, the new commandment, the mandate that is given to us that you love one another as I loved you. And Jesus, not only does he say these words, but he actually lives out these words in many ways. Yes, of course, we know the expression on the Holy Cross. It is evident that he sacrifices himself. But something very unique happens on this Thursday, and that is that he kneels down. He takes off his robes and he kneels down and he washes the feet of the disciples. Yes, dirty, stinky feet. He washes them. And as he washes them, he sets up this example. He says, you saw that I did it. You call me your Lord. You call me your teacher. And look what I've done. How much more you should do for others. As I have done, so you should do. And that is the example that he gives us. And probably you don't really put it all together until you read a prayer like St. Nerses Shnorhali, who really juxtaposes these ideas of humanity and divinity, one next to the other. And for instance, in the case of the feet washing, he pictures the same hands that took the earth, that took that dirt and created life. Those same hands were now taking that life form and washing the dirt, washing the earth off of that life form. And he was washing the feet as an example for us that he, as Lord and teacher of us all, he was humble enough to do that. How much more we should humble ourselves. Now, I've got a treat for you because I just did the Divine Liturgy. I just celebrated it like a few minutes ago and I ran into the studio so we could do this podcast today. But I was like hit broadsided. Is that the expression? I was just like, it came here very unexpectedly because 30 years been doing this Divine Liturgy. There is a prayer that is written and recited specifically for this Holy Thursday. It is by the great patriarch Saint Basil, and it is about the Holy Eucharist. And I'm going to share that with you in just a few minutes coming up, because when I heard it today, I've read it. I've recited it, I've read it, but today some things just like struck out at me, and I want to share that with you. I was really going to go in a different direction, but being this Holy Thursday, I want to share that with you. That's coming up in a few minutes. I think you're going to enjoy it. I think it's going to be a very special treat for all of us. It's not just a teaching, but for me too, it's an opportunity to really liberate myself, to be able to move forward in this Holy Week. You know, you get out there and you do all these services. It's good to just kind of break off for a few minutes, which I love to do. We do it here on this podcast, right? We sit across from one another. We share some ideas. And in sharing those ideas, well, you get some and you give some. So I want to do that with you. That's coming up in just a couple minutes. Of course, we have Anush with us today with her pomegranate seeds. And I want to talk a little bit more about the inauguration of Pope Francis. Now, you remember that we talked about it. Well, I don't want to say in major detail, but we talked about it last week. I want to build on that because something really, really interesting and novel happened. And really, it was an eye-opener, which I don't think too many people really picked up on. It takes an Armadoxy eye to look at it, okay? That's coming up in just a couple of seconds. I do want to make a mention that today is episode number 251. And, you know, before every podcast that we do, whenever we get an odd number, especially in these 200 series, whenever we get an odd number, I will always look up and see if that number of episode happens to be a prime number. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the next step begins with Susie's introduction or a little jingle, except on those episodes that happen to be prime numbers. Then you get a little bit of announcement saying that this is episode. In other words, there's a little, like a Da Vinci code. This is called the Voskenyan code, okay? Yeah, it's like a little prime number. But I was really kind of like, I wanted to share this with you today because when I looked up the 251, is that a prime? It definitely is. Happens to be a regular prime, an Einsteinian prime, a Chen prime, and a Gaussian prime, a Sophian Germain prime, and a sexy prime. No. Sexy prime, just that's the Latin for six. In other words, there's six numbers between it and the next prime. But let me talk about a couple of the other characteristics of it. 251 is also the sum of three consecutive primes, 79, 83, and 89, and it's the sum of seven consecutive primes, 23, 29, 31, 37, 41, 43, and 47. Do I got you going right there? Well, those of you who've been listening to The Next Step know what I'm talking about, right? Remember the numbers, 43. Look at that. There they come up. Anyway, you'll know that 251 is a very special number. I'm going to leave it at that, okay? This is a topic for another day. Today is Holy Thursday. And of course, last week we had the inauguration of Pope Francis. Now, I want to build on that a little bit because something very unusual happened. And it was the following day. We were watching the video clips of the different dignitaries, the different church leaders that attended. And lo and behold, we see His Holiness Karekin II, the Catholicos of all Armenians, was at the event. Now, of course, this is to be expected. I mean, you got all of these church leaders. You've got not only church leaders, Christian leaders. You've also got all kinds of non-Christian leaders. You have clerics from different faith, different traditions assembled, and they were all present at the inauguration and, of course, at the first this divine liturgy that's taking place. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I mentioned this last week, that this is the first time that the Ecumenical Patriarch happens to be at the Vatican at the inauguration of the Pope. And, of course, the Ecumenical Patriarch is representing the Orthodox Communion, the Orthodox tradition, and, of course, the Pope, the Roman tradition. Basically, the Great Schism, which took place 1,000 years ago, and at that time they had excommunicated one another, and it was about 50 years ago, as I mentioned last week, 50 years ago that they got together in Jerusalem. the predecessors of today's Pope Francis and Patriarch Bartholomew. And thanks to our dear listener and dear friend, Dr. Harry Hagopian, a Vatican consultant, historian par excellence, the man who has contributed so much to the never-ending dialogue of ecumenism, which we hope that one day will end, not for any other reason than that's what it's about, right? I think ecumenism is about getting it all together. It's like psychology, right? You want to just at one day get to a point where you don't need to have ecumenical movements. But until that time, we are very thankful that we have someone of his caliber and stature who contributes to that dialogue. And he shared with us that it was ecumenical patriarch Athenagoras and Pope Paul VI. Now, I believe last week I said it was John the 23rd who had opened Vatican II, and it was Paul VI who had met with Patriarch Athenagoras in Jerusalem in 1964. Okay, so now, last week, we're at the inauguration of Pope Francis. The Divine Liturgy is taking place, and they call forward two guest clergymen to receive the kiss of peace. Now, the kiss of peace, of course, is at that moment during the liturgy when they're expressing that Christ is in our midst. And let us greet one another with this holy kiss, as St. Paul refers to in Scripture. Let us go up to one another and tell them that Christ is in our midst. So they bring forward two guest clergymen. Now, who do they bring forward to receive this kiss of peace? They bring forward the ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew and the Catholicos of all Armenians, His Holiness Karakin. They say, well, that's nice. That's cute. No, it's beyond cute. Do you understand what happens at that moment? You have all of Orthodoxy together at that moment. You have the leaders of the Orthodox Communion together, because you have the leader of the Roman Church, you have the leader of what is called the Greater Orthodox Group, and you have the leader of what is called the Lesser Orthodox, lesser because of the numbers involved, okay? Those that are non-Chalcedonian, namely the Armenians. So you have the leaders of these three communions coming together to receive the kiss of peace. And I think that that was a first, probably really never exploited to the point that it should be. That when we're talking about ecumenism, when you're talking about bringing the Christ body together, there it was. For that one single moment. Last week we talked about the two brothers coming together, about Peter and Andrew coming together, but this time we're talking about the church coming together, the Holy Orthodox Church. When we get together during the Nicene Creed and we say we believe in one holy apostolic Catholic or universal church, this is what we're talking about. And there were the leaders of those three jurisdictions, three branches of Christianity, of Orthodox Christianity, namely the West, the Roman Church, namely the East, with His Holiness Bartholomew, and namely the Lesser Orthodox, sometimes called the Oriental Orthodox. I know it's kind of a redundant, it's like Eastern, but you get the idea. It's hard to find the definitions, and I really am not the one that, I don't particularly like calling them non-Chalcedonian and Chalcedonian. There's different things that come up, and of course people sometimes mistakenly call them Monophysites and so on, and we're beyond that. But basically, the Orthodox, those who are on the correct path, urir vartabedutyun, we say in Armenian, on the correct and straight path. And that was a moment in history, very special one. So I'm going to try to put a link on today's show notes to that little moment. We'll have to upload it separately, but if not, we'll put the broader picture. It came out of Etchmiadzin, and I just wanted to call your attention to that particular moment. Now, we are in the midst of Holy Week. Okay, we started off with a beautiful service of the raising of Lazarus with Palm Sunday last Sunday. And of course, we're now getting ready for the ultimate. Tonight, we're going to have the feet washing and then the order of darkness. And I'm going to share with you a very special prayer in just a couple minutes. And then we have, of course, the crucifixion and burial tomorrow and Easter, Easter Eve, and Easter Sunday. But for right now, what I'd like to share with you is the song of the day. And I am going through the official Epostle archives of music. I thought I'd pick out something really special. This is an artist that we have featured in the past, Rula Kishek, and this happens to be a song called He is resurrected, alleluia. And I want to make a mention and an emphasis on the tense. He is resurrected, not he was. He is resurrected. Think about that. Enjoy. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
هللويا ربنا المسيح أتانا الظفر ربنا المسيح أتانا الظفر هللويا هللويا
قام من القبر هللويا أحرز الحجر هللويا
Hallelujah.
Rula Kishek is the artist, and that is a song called He Is Resurrected, Alleluia. And as I said earlier, it's not about he was resurrected, he is resurrected. Hope you thought about that for a while, because that's what it's about. That's what our Easter is about. And doesn't matter which language, what you're speaking, what you're talking about, the message is very clear, just as it doesn't matter what time you're in. It's a message that goes beyond time. It's about life. It's about beginnings. It's about overcoming those crucifixions. Speaking of which, language in particular, this coming Sunday, Easter morning, as has been my tradition for the last several years, we do a very special liturgy, the same Armenian liturgy, but we do it in the English language. And we invite you, it's based on St. John of Chrysostom's Mass. We invite you to come and be a participant in that liturgy. That takes place in Glendale at the Youth Ministry Center. And if you are not close to Glendale and want to join us, you can do so on the net. We are at epostle.net. Easy to remember. You know, that's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. Just go to the epostle.net and website and pull down the broadcast tab. Now, I would do this a little bit before. We start at 8 o'clock Pacific time. I would do that maybe about 7:50, 7:55. Just get yourself comfortable and get ready to rock. It's about a one-hour service. We get together, we pray, we have a small little message, and we have Holy Communion. It's an opportunity to start off your day, at least here on the West Coast. I know most of our listeners have already gone through their Easter celebration, so if you want a second Easter celebration in a very special way, please do join us.
All too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If it's true, the myth.
Now, as I said earlier, we are in Holy Week, and we happen to be on Holy Thursday. I just finished the Divine Liturgy before beginning the podcast. And in the Divine Liturgy, there is a very special prayer, an address of Patriarch St. Basil the Great. Now, before I do that, remember that this is Holy Thursday. The Passion of our Lord begins. It is the institution of the Last Supper. And it is at that meal of the Last Supper that Jesus lifts up the bread and he says, "This is my body." That he lifts up the wine and he says, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant." And all of a sudden, things start to fall into place, because Jesus had earlier said that I give my body, he who eats my body shall never hunger. And people were debating, what is he talking? It's a very hard saying. In fact, the evangelist St. John recalls that many people left his company because it was such an odd saying. What does he mean? He's going to give his body. But as he breaks the bread, people understand that there was something very mystical about this, that he put it all together in a way that we could understand. Now, St. Basil, one of the greats of the Orthodox Church, St. Basil writes about the Holy Eucharist. And I'm going to share this with you, because this particular prayer, this particular address in the Armenian Church during this Holy Thursday today, during the Divine Liturgy, the entire liturgy stops with the consecrated gifts at the altar. The priest turns around and focuses on this address, which a senior priest in the church, if the church has it, and I'm very fortunate that I, for the last several years, I've had many different senior clergymen who've been at my parish. Today we had the Reverend Father Dr. Zavin Arzmanian. He was with us, and he read this passage. And as he did, I thought, this is fantastic. This is something that, you know, it should be like required reading before Holy Communion. It really should. Now, I want to just share it with you, and I think more than comment about it, I'd like to do a reading of it. It is a very powerful prayer, a very powerful address, which I take as a prayer. So let me share that with you, okay? It begins with St. Basil say, "Hearken unto me, my sons, I shall openly and freely instruct you as my own beloved children in the fear of God, because it is my duty to do so, and woe be unto me if I do not expound the word of God to you daily, that I may be able to acquaint you with what the will of God, and with which is good, pleasant, and perfect." Now, St. Basil, as he goes on, he's going to explain what the Holy Communion is, what the Eucharist is. And this is fantastic because it's an explanation of every, you know, if you've got questions of what are we taking, what are we consuming. But before he does that, he makes a case and he makes a point of explaining why it's important, why it's imperative for him to pass along this knowledge. And he says it like this. He says, "I'm a human being like yourselves and sunk still deeper in sin. But as I am appointed an overseer and counselor, with tears and many heartfelt sighs do I lovingly place before you the will of God. Not that I intend to say anything new and with fictitious words to distract your mind, for verily in truth I have myself to give an account before God. Therefore, I shall speak to you with the established rules and canons of the Holy Fathers, only in simpler language. But you must first know that the rank of priesthood was not entrusted to the angels for this reason, that they are beings without sin, but to mankind, in order that as we sin and hope to be forgiven by Christ, we should in the same way be enabled to give you the hope of forgiveness and repentance. And now I beg of everyone with patience to listen to me." And here he begins to explain. "Now the heavens open from above, and Christ descending rests on this holy altar, and all the hosts of heaven descend invisibly to the earth to serve the Son of God, and they circle round this altar, and the Holy Ghost unsparingly his gifts of goodness to those who draw nigh in holiness. Because our senses cannot tolerate actual flesh and blood, therefore has God manifested it to us under the semblance of bread and wine. But do not you look on this as bread, and do not you contemplate it as wine, for this is true body and blood of Christ. No one should dare to draw near to it with familiarity or contempt, as to a slight thing, for this is a flaming fire which will burn and consume sinners. Therefore it is necessary first to purify oneself by repentance, that we may not with our many sins be burned by this fire. At the same time, let no one despairingly turn aside from this, or entertain vain fear in his heart, because such is not fear, but contempt for God. For this is the gate of kingdom of heaven, and the very kingdom of heaven itself, which is Christ the Son of God, and our God, and they who approach it will with purity shall become the adopted children of the Heavenly Father. But it is to be remembered that every true son bears a resemblance to his father. And when you say, 'Our Father which art in heaven,' and you offer prayers, you ought to show in yourselves a resemblance to him, that your prayers may be heard. For if you bear no resemblance to the Heavenly Father in his perfection and benevolence, he will not hear you, and he will not incline to your supplications. But the father of evil who is in hell, and after whose works you follow, he will hear you. Now hearing this, cast away all wickedness and all deceit. Forgive from your hearts each one of your brothers who has offenses, and put aside all ill feelings against each other, in order that you may receive mercy from your Heavenly Father and may become worthy of this sacrifice. Expel all of you amongst you all unbelief and want of faith, and cleanse your conscience from all such. Purify yourself of jealousy, deceit, wickedness, hypocrisy, pride, conceit, arrogance, flattery, contradictions, hatred of usury, and the root of all evils, the love of money. Especially you should expunge from your conversation all unseemly, profane, and blasphemous words by which you insult each other. Cast off unrighteous idolatry and disorderly and shameful vice, the mention of which offends and disgusts the mind of the speaker as well as of the hearer. Because the day of judgment, full of worms, shall be in the mouths of those who do not avoid these sins. For the Lord hath said, whosoever calleth his brother a fool, he shall be condemned to the hell fire. Now you must uproot this from amongst you. There should be amongst you no adulterer, no fornicator, no thief, no robber, no glutton, no drunkard, no evil wisher, no plotter of evil, no murderer, no breaker of the peace, no one of cruel, ruthless nature, no intriguer, no unclean person, no profane, no or malevolent person, no perjurer, no breaker of promises, no person unrighteous or unjust, no evil speaker, no one guilty of any other sin, because there are other sins which are mortal and which I do not consider fit to mention in this place. And in addition to all of this, arouse yourselves, clothe yourselves with modesty, holy behavior, good intentions, and be humble, gentle, forgiving, peaceful, merciful toward the sick and the afflicted, compassionate, pitiful to the homeless, to the poor, and to those in want. Adorn yourself with all virtue, with love, with faith, and with hope, and have in you perfect love both to God and men, because the crown of all virtues is love from a pure heart and simple faith. No one should enter here on the pretense of showing to the outsiders that he is one of the communicants, because such a pretender has nothing in unity with God, for God is not deceived. Do not feel ashamed before men, because in this is there no shame whatever, but the great shame will be that which one feels on the day of universal judgment. Here I bring my words to a conclusion, and whatever was necessary to be said regarding this holy mystery, we have stated briefly and in fitting words. Now, those who communicate worthily, adorned with good works, will be honored and crowned with Peter and the apostles by Christ our God. And those who partake in a rebellious spirit, they, as it were, a second time crucify the Son of God. And those who shamefully and unworthily communicate shall receive the portion of Judas the traitor and of the crucifiers. Now you know in what your duty consists. May the Holy Spirit, who is the dwelling of the saints and is the source of all goodness, cleanse your souls and bodies and make the communion of this salvation-giving mystery the forgiveness of your sins, to whom with the Father and the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory to all eternity. Amen. Now, I excerpted, of course, it goes into more detail, and certainly the Armenian. I'm going to try to put both of these, Armenian and English, on our website. I'll see in what format I can do that. But let me share a few ideas with you today, especially on this Holy Thursday as we're getting ready for Easter. As we're getting for Easter every Sunday, you know that every Sunday the Holy Divine Liturgy is a recreation of that resurrection. In other words, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is an opportunity for us to come and participate in the Holy Eucharist, which is a celebration of that resurrection. It is beyond the Good Friday. Think about that for a moment, this idea. We talked earlier about Thursday, this being Holy Thursday, sometimes referred to as Maundy Thursday, the Thursday on which the commandments are given, the Thursday on which the command and the new covenant is established with Christ. And these words are very meaningful and they are powerful. Now think about Friday. We refer to it as Good Friday, and that's an awkward word, which many times as a kid I know it bothered me. How could you say Good Friday? It's on that day that they crucified the Lord. How could you define that as a good thing? Well, you could define it only by looking beyond and seeing the resurrection, right? Once you understand the resurrection, then you can look back on that Friday and see it as, yeah, certainly it was good. Certainly it was good. It was part of the redemption. It was part of the salvation of this process that we had to go through. And you realize in your life, the crucifixions that you have, you realize the troubles that you have are all, in a sense, you can call them good crucifixions, good Fridays, only in the context that you can see that resurrection. And that's where faith comes in. That's where hope comes in. That's why every Sunday when the celebrant priest in the Armenian church turns toward the people, he says, this is faith, hope. This is resurrection. Now, some of the ancient translations of the book of the Divine Liturgy say this is hope of resurrection. I don't use that particular translation because I think resurrection in itself is that, is the power there. It is not hope of resurrection. Jesus already established that resurrection is there for all of us. It's not a hope of resurrection. Resurrection is there. So I always say, this is life, hope, and resurrection. And that resurrection is waiting beyond each crucifixion. It is waiting there beyond the Friday event. And when you look at Friday through the glasses of resurrection, then you have the audacity, then you have the power to refer to it as a good Friday. So too, on this Thursday, as we are learning and appreciating what the Holy Eucharist is, the institution of the Last Supper, it is so powerful because we understand that it is not just bread and wine that's on the table, but it is Jesus Christ. And as St. Basil says, this is how you understand it. It's not that you're going to take it and put it under a microscope and see, are there really flesh cells there? Are there really blood cells there? No, you're going to understand it in the context that Jesus Christ came, and as the sinless one, he gave himself for the sins of the world. So too, recount your sins. Understand that you are in sin. You have missed the mark. Ask for that forgiveness and put away that sinful nature. Clean yourself. Be pure as your Heavenly Father is pure. And as you come in purity, as you approach those gifts turn into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They are truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ because you have opened up a place within you. You have opened up your heart. You have opened up your soul for that Christ to come in. Remember last Sunday was the celebration of Jesus entering the temple. What does he do? When he comes into the temple, the first thing that he does is he eliminates everything that doesn't belong there. He turns over the table of the money changers. He takes the whip in his hands and he takes out every filth and garbage that doesn't belong there. Well, you could say because that's the temple and that's holy. But what needs to be replaced in place of all that evil? Jesus Christ. Now, you can't put Christ in there until there's room for him. Right? I mean, that's just a physical law. Right? I mean, there's just so much room inside that temple. And if it's all filled with garbage and all kinds of stuff that is keeping Christ out, how do you expect him to find some room in there? Same thing with your life. You need to be able to sort it out, open it up. Make some room so that he can come in. And when he does come in, you understand that it is Christ that is in the midst. In the same way, this is what St. Basil is saying. Get rid of all that stuff. Now, did you catch all that stuff, all those negatives and the positives that we were saying? What did it remind you of? Just a few weeks ago, if you were following the Lenten journey, we quoted that Cherokee prayer, you know, about the two wolves fighting one another inside of you. It's an ancient Cherokee Cherokee story that is passed on by the Native Americans here in America, about that there's two wolves inside of you battling it out. One wolf is evil, one wolf is good. And at the end, the child asks his grandfather, he says, "Well, grandfather, which wolf wins?" And the grandfather says, "That wolf that you feed." And these sins that Saint Basil identifies were all the same that the evil wolf had. Remember, he says, you have hypocrisy, wickedness, pride, conceit, arrogance. And then he turns it around and he says, you need the good stuff in you. And have that love, have that compassion. Go and help out the poor, those people that are in need. So Saint Basil once again reiterates the Orthodox understanding of that Holy Eucharist. You want that Eucharist to be the body and blood of Christ. You want it to be sanctified. The Holy Spirit has descended upon it, but you cannot take it unworthily. You need to take it worthily, and the only way to do that is, Father, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Forgive, love, have compassion in your heart. Then you make room for that sacred to come and be a part of you. We're going to take a break right now. Here's Anush with today's pomegranate seeds, a little Easter special for us. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Traditions: Easter eggs and baking choreg on choreg shabdi. I am like my grandmother in a lot of ways. I am stubborn, I'm a fighter, and a survivor. I am a woman of faith, but I am also like her physically too. I have her coloring, and the older I get, the more I see her looking back at me in the mirror. And this morning when I looked down at my dye-stained hands, I saw her hands, and I flashed back to my childhood, standing in my grandmother's kitchen with the light streaming in the window, seeing the colored eggs lined up on the yellow and black tile, and watching her rub crosses on the newly dyed eggs. My hands today look just like hers did then, starting to show age, not afraid of getting dirty or working hard, nails short, and dyed a little brown at the fingertips from dyeing the eggs. As a little girl, Easter was always an exciting time. Usually on the Thursday evening of Holy Week, after going to church for the Vodnalava or foot washing, we would come home to dye our Easter eggs. We had all those cool colors, those tablets that you drop in the warm water with a spoonful of vinegar, the little copper metal scoopy thing that looked like a bent paperclip, the white crayon for writing people's names on the eggs. And every year, my little brother would always try to make a half and half egg and accidentally drop his still wet dark green egg into the beautiful yellow, mixing the colors. That would get me so mad. And by the end of the evening, we had a mess of dye on the table. But it was a lot of fun. We were blessed to have my grandmother live right on the corner of our street. She was over every day. And she would bring over her carton of eggs, her special eggs that she had dyed herself. They were all one color, a warm, dark brick color with crosses rubbed on them. This was the traditional Armenian way of coloring eggs. No gimmicks, just basic, simple, natural dye, using what our people had. They were survivors. Nothing went to waste. The skins of the onions were used as dye. I know now that this simple gesture of coloring the eggs this way was her way of tying herself back to her roots, her childhood. A life that was uprooted by the genocide. A childhood that came to an end all too soon when our people were forced from our homeland and made to walk through the desert. She was a survivor. Although she never said it, I'm sure dyeing the eggs this way was an affirmation of her past and her present. Once I got married and left my family home, I started dyeing the eggs with onion skins. It was a way to carry on the tradition. And when I had children, yes, I would still buy the Easter egg kits with the pretty colors, but I would always, always do a couple dozen with the onion skins. By then, my grandmother had passed away, and I was determined to keep that tradition and her memory alive. And so my children grew up with this beautiful Easter tradition passed down from my grandmother. You all know about my empty nest. Last October, my daughter Ani got married, and this was my first year in 25 years that I have dyed eggs without her. Oh, she was still there. We were tweeting and texting back and forth through the process. We've always enjoyed dyeing eggs together, and we started a spin on the tradition a few years back, still dyeing with the onion skins, but pressing leaves on the surface of the eggs to create designs, and experimenting with other natural dyes too. My husband came to the kitchen to ask if I needed help. I didn't have to answer. He picked up an egg and worked beside me, wrapping the leaves for the dye. And as we worked, I started thinking about traditions and blessings and the past and the future. Our family has another tradition too, choreg. My mother, Mama John, is the choreg baker of the family. People love this sweet, soft roll that she makes at Christmas and Easter time. It's really the best and so good that it won a blue ribbon at the LA County Fair in the 60s. As a child, I would sit and watch her crank out the choreg uniformly by hand, one just the same size and shape as the next, and placing my own wonky S-shapes and snail coils on her tray. Later, when I had children, they would go over to help her make choreg, or really just to play with the dough. Years go by, and for the past 10 years, Ani and Mama John have been working together during the holidays to make the choreg happen. My mom can no longer knead the huge amount of dough, and Ani has taken that over. So this past week, my mom was asking about schedules and when we could possibly find the time to make choreg this year. It's difficult, I told her, with work, Holy Week schedules, life, and then something beautiful happened. On Palm Sunday, as we were having lunch, Ani asked Mama John over to her house to make choreg together and start a new tradition. And she also invited my two nieces to come because it was time for them to learn too. I watched my daughter carefully write down the list of groceries that my mother dictated to her from memory. And just today, Wednesday, they got to work and created tray after tray of choregs on choreg shakti. Ani's are just like Mama John's, and my niece's choregs were just like my wonky shapes from when I was their age. As a parent, I am so blessed to see this full circle. Young and old, the past and present coming together. Traditions upheld and new ones made. They bond us with our past and create in us a sense of belonging, but they also help to bring familiarity to new experiences. And in a most beautiful way, they fill our hearts with the memories of dear ones whose presence is so missed during these family holidays. This is Anush, wishing you a pomegranate Easter, filled with traditions, fresh choreg, dyed eggs, and abundant with God's blessings. Christos Haryav Imerelots, Ortniale Haratunin Christosi.
Rather personal one, isn't it? A nice one. Little pomegranate seeds that are kind of personal. That has a flavor to it, too. Thank you, Anush, for sharing that with us. And I look forward to celebrating this Easter with you and the family. Right now, we're going to have the bigger family, which you are a part of, Susie telling you all about it.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Thank you, Susie. You know, I said a few minutes ago that Easter time we're going to be celebrating with our families. I can't discount this incredible family that we have in Epostle. I want to thank all of you and wish you all the best. You know, this is a very special family that we have. We are virtual in nature, but in reality, we do know each other. I love getting your emails, your comments, and I want to thank all of you. And there's the ones that you hear about all the time, the ones that are part of the Epostle group that produces this show, whether it's Susie or Vahe, Anush, Ken in the past, Linda, who does our Compass podcast, Ani, who had done her Bubble series in the past. And of course, there's so many of you that are just out there that are participants. And, you know, each of you who participates by giving so much of your love, your affection to us really means so much. I just appreciate it. And I want to thank you because all of you are part of my prayers this Easter week. The Janine with her beautiful daily lessons and daily thoughts over there on her blog, and over on the other side of the world, Up God, we have Sylvia up north, and we have up over in Armenia, we have a small group that gets together and listens. Autumn, do a shout out to you, and of course to Arsene, and Gala over there in Artsakh, in Karabakh, she was with us a couple weeks ago. There's so many of you, and it's really overwhelming when we put it all together. I mean, we have Dr. Harry, who takes us with him wherever he goes. All of you over there in the Middle East, and the small little groups that you get together and you discuss. And thank you. I really enjoy some of the more deeper conversations that this has led to. Jorge out there in South America, and all of the small little groups. It's really overwhelming. I want you to just know, this Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, I'm going to remember each of you by name. I share those special prayers with you and for you. And I want you to know that it is a very special family that I call the Apostle family, because it is people that, well, wantingly are here. They're here for the Spirit. They're here to understand. They're here to get something very special. And please remember me in your prayers. Ask for God's guidance. Ask for God's strength. We do go through some very difficult times. It is a very high maintenance, high stress position being here right at the ground zero in the middle of Glendale. And just ask for God's strength in all of this. But please know that you are in my prayers. And this Easter season, with all of the things that we say and all of the things that we do, let's bring it down to something very, very special, that it is Christ being resurrected. That was the purpose of the original church, to get the message out. It was the reason why Christ came to this world. It is the reason why we are here in this world, to bear witness to that resurrection. And with that, I want to wish you all a very, very blessed Easter. Christ is risen. Blessed be the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, we bring an end to today's show. By the way, that's the way you sing an Easter hymn, okay? You're proud about it. You're excited about it. Get out there and tell people Christ has risen. Praise be to God. Hey, listen, I want you to join us this Sunday on the net. If you're not in Glendale, if you happen to be in Glendale, oh, just stop by. 8 in the morning, Pacific time, 8 a.m. Join us a few minutes earlier. Get on epostle.net. We're going to have a special liturgy. It's a one-hour liturgy just filled with all kinds of exciting stuff. So please do join us. And, of course, throughout the week, join us at epostle on Facebook and at the mothership inissues.org. For the wonderful crew who put this together, for Susie, our producer, Vahe, our webman, Honors with her pomegranate scenes, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Happy Easter.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.